I love it. As soon as we start recording, like, what was it? Like, a minute in. Like, oh my god, I'm liking. A minute in, my phone rings. This is why I should not bring the cell phone into the recording studio. Or if I do, I should turn the fucking ringer off. I can't believe it's been a month since I last recorded. I can, actually, because I've been busy as hell. And I will warn everybody listening, this will probably be a two-parter. I've already warned Randy about that. She's buckling down. Yep, she's got her coffee. She's ready to put up with my ass for two entire fucking episodes. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, motherfucking moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way your head has something to keep it company. And don't forget, there's always the third, ever-present, most likely possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. And the crowd goes wild, like they always do. We're here today representing the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the internet. I am the Great One himself, and this is Stating the Obvious, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect. The nuclear-tipped, anarchy-powered cruise missile that destroys dumb motherfuckers all around the world. And if there are survivors, as they climb from the wreckage, we mow them down with machine guns. I'm not going to be able to do that one in this episode. Oh, there's so much. There's so much I need to talk. Just today. Okay, so get this. Just today, I see on the internet, here it is. The White House has released a photograph of your Lord and Savior, Hussein Obama, shooting a... He's supposedly skeet shooting. Looks like it might be some kind of shotgun. But he's shooting this gun. Okay, so here's this picture released by the White House of the Messiah shooting a gun. And with the photograph is a disclaimer. The disclaimer says this, quote, "This official White House photograph is being made available only for publication by news organizations and or personal use printing by the subjects of the photograph. The photograph may not be manipulated in any way and may not be used in commercial or political materials, advertisements, emails, products, promotions that in any way suggest approval or endorsement of the president, the first family, or the White House," unquote. So the government has taken a photograph of the Messiah, your president, your Lord and Savior, the most open administration, the most transparent administration in history. This picture was taken either by a government employee paid for with your tax money, or this picture was taken by a private photographer who was paid, hopefully, theoretically, was paid with your tax money. And then the government is releasing this photo on the internet because we know that once you put something on the internet, you can always keep complete control of it. There's no piracy on the internet. There's no violation of copyright on the internet. It's putting the government, your government, the government that you think can solve all of your problems, the state that you worship, the Messiah whose balls you lick every day of your life, has put this picture on the internet and said, if anybody uses this picture or if anybody manipulates this picture, it's illegal. I mean, are you fucking kidding me? Are they that out of touch that you think you can put a fucking picture on the internet and explicitly tell people this photograph may not be manipulated? There are only two possibilities here. Possibility number one, the Messiah and his handlers and the administration and the people in the government and the White House press people are really that fucking stupid. That's the first possibility. The second possibility is that they want this photograph to be used by every fucking human being on the planet Earth who has an internet connection and hates Obama. I predict that this photo will show up all over the place, photoshopped with all kinds of great captions, you know, like, here's the president shooting another gun owner, or something like that. It amazes me. It doesn't amaze me. It's to be expected. How fucking clueless. Absolutely fucking clueless. And this is the state. This is the Messiah. These are the people that you think are going to provide you with health care, the people that are protecting you from the terrorist, the people that are protecting you from homosexuals getting married, the people that are protecting you from gun wackos, the people that are going to plan your life, the people that are going to provide you with social security and a safety net. These are the people that you turn to for leadership and guidance because you're too fucking stupid to run your own life. And these people are so fucking dumb that they think you can put a picture on the internet and tell people you can't use this picture. Speaking of the internet, I started reading a good book. Saw this at the library on the What's New shelf the other day. Picked it up, got into it. It's pretty good. I'm enjoying the hell out of it so far. I'm only on page 122, but it's one of those things once you start reading it, you can't put it down. It's called We Are Anonymous, Inside the Hacker World of LulzSec Anonymous and the Global Cyber Insurgency. It's written by Parmy Olson. I might be mispronouncing her name. That's P-A-R-M-Y Olson, like the Olsen twins. And it is a book about the cyber hackers, Anonymous, all that other stuff. It's really fucking sweet. If that sort of stuff floats your boat, I recommend checking it out. And, by the way, what is today, Randy? Today is February the 4th, 2013. I am the Great One himself. And this is Stating the Obvious, brought to you by Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the internet. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. She's our sound engineer and keeps me on track as much as that can be done. And if you want to send us love mail, hate mail, or naked pictures of yourself, providing you are, of course, physically attractive, you can send that to God, that's G-O-D, dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com. Seems like there was something else I wanted. Oh, yes, voting. I want to do this. I got a couple of quick things I want to get out the way, then we get to the meat. Just chill, Randy, chill. I know, chill. Voting. Back before the election, I talked quite a bit about the whole voting thing, about how your vote doesn't count, blah, blah, blah. Here's another little thing for those of you out there who are in the cult of voting for you to think about. There's this idea that voting is secret, you know, because it's a secret ballot. You can go in there and vote, and nobody knows who you voted for. And so that's one of the things that makes democracy so wonderful is we have secret ballots. And you can vote for whoever you want for, and blah, blah, blah. I and another person, the wife of a person, got in the mail some little things saying, you didn't vote in the last election. Please let us know if you want to continue receiving your mail-in ballots or if your address has changed or blah, blah, blah. Now, here's a question for those of you out there in the cult of voting. If ballots are secret, how can the government know if you voted in the last election or not? Think about that for a minute. Your ballot is secret, but if you don't vote, the government knows you didn't vote. Think about that for a minute, okay? And when you come up with some way to reconcile that, let me know what it is. All right, I think that's all the small stuff I wanted to get out of the way before I delve into... No, wait, what is this? All right, that's at the end. All right. Oh! No, it's not. I got one more thing because I am about to launch off into Stating the Obvious, where I'm going to rip the Colorado State University, the Collegian. I'm going to rip some new assholes on that, and we're going to be talking about a lot of fun stuff to include gender, women, stuff. So I just want to say, being here in Fort Collins, Colorado, I mean, there's a lot of great women around here, and they're hot and all that other shit, but I'm from a small town in Texas, and sometimes I really, really miss real women, women who are not totally psychologically damaged like the ones around here. In my local hometown newspaper, which my mother sends me, here we have on a page two pictures of two women. Here we have a woman. It's her 95th birthday. It says blah blah blah. This woman from blah blah chose a different way to celebrate her birthday: hog hunting on the Thunder Hollow Ranch. This woman on her 95th birthday went hunting and shot 20 hogs. And there's a picture of her with her rifle and a stack of dead hogs. I love it. In Texas, 95-year-old women go hog hunting on their birthday and shoot 20 hogs. Now, right under this glorious photograph is another glorious photograph of a girl who shot her very first hog. And it shows her and her rifle, and she is 8 years old. The rifle is bigger than she is. Yes! Now see, this is what real women here in Fort Collins, it's like when they find out you own a gun, they're like, oh, I'm so scared. You have a gun. My Messiah, Hussein Obama, he said that guns make people go crazy and they go in schools and they shoot people, and I'm so afraid. I'm scared of the guns. You know, that's your typical liberal college bitch. Where I come from, 8-year-old girls take deer rifles and shoot hogs. 95-year-old women celebrate their birthday, I can't talk, by shooting hogs. One day, I will return to Texas. If Texas would just become a little bit less of a police state. Because also, of course, in the hometown newspaper is the picture of the cop with the 16,000 pounds of marijuana that was confiscated. Because while I love Texas, and I love a lot of things about Texas, Texas is very police statey, and oh my God, do they love them some war on drugs down there. I was talking with somebody the other day about things down in Texas and about where I am from, and they're talking about illegal immigration, and I was pointing out that where I'm from, nobody really cares about illegal immigrants. Like when I lived there, there were houses that we knew the people who lived there were illegal immigrants. And everybody knew this. I mean, it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody. And nobody gave a shit. Now, the cops didn't give a shit that these people were illegal immigrants. Nobody gave a shit. But if these illegal immigrants would have had marijuana, oh my God, the cops would have fucking descended on them like flies on shit. It would have gone nuts. So if we could just get Texas to be less police statey and get over the whole war on drugs, that would be a really great start. Oh wait, what's this? Oh no, that's for later. Okay. All right. Randy, I am now ready to officially start the podcast. 13 minutes in, we can get started on what we're actually here to talk about. Okay, Rocky Mountain Collegian. This is from the January 22nd edition. Hold on, I gotta situate myself here a little bit better. All right, yeah. Ready to go. The Color of Campus is the title of this article. 9-year diversity trends broken down by college. Okay. In 2003, CSU's minority students represented 11.4% of the student body. By fall 2012, that number increased to 15.6%. The uptick in underrepresented persons enrollment at CSU is good for the university, but there is still room for improvement, according to Mary Antonavios, CSU Vice President for Diversity. "We are more diverse than we've ever been," Antonavios said, "Are we as diverse as perhaps we should be? Probably not. It would be nice to have more of that kind of diversity on campus." Unquote. Diversity. Diversity, racism. I mean diversity. No, I mean racism. It would be nice to have more of that kind of diversity. What kind of diversity? So let's look at this. Here's what I want to ask all of you out there who are quote unquote minorities. How does it feel to be measured like a statistic? How does it feel to be called an uptick? How does it feel to know that you are a tick? That's what you are to the university. You're a fucking statistic. You're an uptick. You're something for them to catalog and measure and then gloat about, oh, look, we have more minorities than ever. I mean, is that really what you people want? And by you people, I mean those of you who are in these minority categories. I mean, is that really what you want, to be a fucking notch on the bedpost of Colorado State University? To be something they measure and brag about and talk about, we need more of this kind of diversity. And I, of course, this kind of diversity, what they mean is a diversity of skin color. Not a diversity of thought, not a diversity of opinion, not a diversity of ideas. Because if your thoughts and opinions and ideas are any different than those of the liberal statist establishment that runs the university, then of course you will be attacked, you will be ostracized, you will be driven away. For those of you new to the podcast, I worked at Colorado State University for 8 years. I took classes there for about 6 years. I know a lot about the culture on that campus. I just want to know from those of you out there who are ticks, I mean, how does it feel to be little tokens? How does it feel to be statistics for the university to brag about? How does it feel to know that the university doesn't give a shit about you other than as a way to increase its percentage of diverse students? Before I flip away from the front page, also on the front page are two photographs from the Martin Luther King Jr. March that happened here in Fort Collins. The first one, it shows all these people walking down the street. And as I'm looking at this picture, I notice something. Everybody in the picture, everybody in this parade walking down the middle of the street is white. There's not a single token. I mean, a single tick. I mean, a single minority in the entire picture. It's nothing but white people who feel guilty because they're white. And underneath it is another picture of this bitch with a sign that says, voice your opinion, which is hilarious because if I went up to this bitch and voiced an opinion that was different than hers, she would do everything she could do to silence me. Because remember, diversity in the eyes of a college and in the eyes of these guilt-ridden white people, diversity means having the exact same opinions, beliefs, and thoughts that they have, but just having a different skin color, so these white people can say, hey, look, everybody, I know some people who aren't white. I know some ticks. I mean tokens. I mean minorities. Now, back to the campus of color, the color of campus. Campus of color of campus, whatever article. So then it further breaks down by each school in the university the percentage of students who are ticks. I mean tokens. I mean minorities. So, and first we have the College of Agricultural Sciences. I'm not going to give you the actual statistics because that's not the interesting part. As soon as I find the page I need to be on. I know this whole newspaper thing, it's so confusing. Here we go. All right, from agricultural, listen to this. This person is talking here. Errol Beck predicted that the Hispanic population within Colorado will be predominant within a few years. She believes the College of Agricultural Sciences need to change Latinos' perspective on agriculture and encourage involvement. Quote, our role within the Colorado, take two. Our role within the College of Agricultural Sciences is to help change the perception that these young men and women have of agriculture, and that you don't have to be a migrant worker. You don't have to work in a packing plant. You can work as a leader, unquote, Errol Beck said. There's a little racism for you. All Hispanics or Latinos or Chicanos or whatever they're called this week who work in the agricultural field, they're all migrant workers, or they all work in packing plants. I mean, really? Who out there that has brown skin has the belief that, well, I have brown skin, therefore I can only work as a migrant worker? I mean, do people really believe shit like that? Or is that something that this dumb bitch is just saying in order to, you know, sound enlightened or something? Next, we have the College of Applied Human Sciences. Now, I don't know what that is either. A, quote, number of units, unquote, have been created to help diversify the College of Applied Human Sciences, particularly when it comes to retention, recruitment, and inclusion, according to Malcolm Scott, co-chair of the college's Diversity Committee. CAHS is also spearheading efforts to bring the Vice President of Diversity from Texas A&M University to CSU for a consultation and presentation, according to Scott. So first of all, I thought Texas is from the South, Texas is from the South, but I thought, according to the statist liberal establishment of CSU, and I've heard this, everybody in the South is racist. So wait, if all Southerners are racist, why would you bring somebody from Texas A&M to talk to a bunch of liberal, enlightened, statist motherfuckers like yourselves about diversity? Because everybody from the South is racist. One of my philosophy teachers, this bitch was from Mississippi, and she could never shut up about how terrible it was down in the South because everybody down there was racist. And oh, she worked so hard to overcome all the racism around her. She was white, of course. But yeah, everybody else was racist, and oh, she just couldn't stand it because everybody in the South is racist. But we're going to bring in somebody from the South to talk to us. And here's the other thing. Why do you need somebody to come talk to you, to consult with you and do a presentation about diversity? Unless, and this is going to tie back up to say, you know, this whole thing about diversity is, it's a bunch of guilty white people trying to point out that, well, no, minorities are just like the rest of us and we have to treat them just like the rest of us. But then they have to have somebody come in and give a presentation and talk to them about how to, I don't know, to recruit minorities or talk to minorities or get minorities to stay in school. But wait, if people who are not white men are just like white men, then why is it so hard to involve yourself with these people? Let's back up to this other part. A number of units have been created to help diversify the college, blah, blah, blah. And number of units is in quotes. I think that's in quotes because I don't know what that means. And I don't think the person who wrote this article knows what that means. And that's why the person who wrote it put it in quotes. But the College of Applied Human Sciences, that doesn't have very good communication skills, obviously, has created, quote, number of units, unquote, to help diversify and work with retention and recruitment. What is a number of units? And why is it that these minorities, what is about them that makes them so different from white men that we have to create all of these special things just for them so that they can do the same things white men do without those special things? And yet at the same time, we're told, but these minorities, these ticks, these tokens are just like white men. But at the same time, we're told we have to have special things for the ticks and the tokens and the minorities. They have to have special programs. They have to be treated differently. They have to be handled differently. Now, for those of you out there who aren't getting the sarcasm, I'm not making the argument that the ticks and the tokens and the minorities are different than white men. The college is making that argument. Those of you who believe in diversity are making that argument. I believe that people are people. That things that work for a white man pretty much work for people that aren't white men also. Some things don't work for everybody, but it's not because of their gender or their skin color. People, for example, learn in different ways. Some people are visual learners. Some people are auditory learners. Some people are kinesthetic learners. Some people learn by watching somebody else do things. Some people learn by doing hands-on. Some people need a combination of all of those. Some people need their combination in different orders. Some people are motivated in a moving towards way. Some people are motivated in a moving away a methodology. By that I also mean some people are motivated by gaining pleasure. Some people are motivated by gaining pain. And everybody has various combinations of all these different motivation and encouragement and understanding and learning strategies, and their strategies in different situations for different things are going to be different. None of this stuff is directly related to what color your skin is or what gender you are. People are people, regardless of what fucking color or gender they are. That's the argument I'm making. The university and all of you fucking diversity fanatics are making exactly the opposite. You are racist. Here's why you are racist. Because in order to have diversity, you must have racism. In order to have diversity, you have to be able to take people and say, these people, these ticks, these tokens, this group is different than this other group. And so we can categorize these ticks as ticks because they're different from the white men. And the way you categorize people who are not white men as ticks in these different categories is by one of two things. You categorize them by their gender, or you categorize them by their skin color. Now, when you take people and you put them into subgroups and you categorize them based on gender or skin color, that is the definition of racism and sexism. But to have diversity, to be able to say, look, we have an uptick in the number of ticks and tokens that are going to CSU, you have to take people and put them in categories based on skin color. To put people in categories based on skin color, you have to be judging them by their skin color. You have to be saying these people are in a way that is important, demonstrably and measurably different from other people. And they're different because of their skin color. That is racism. Without racism, you can't have diversity. Without diversity, you can't have racism. Remembering, of course, that diversity, again, as we're talking about it here in the context of a college, in the context of Colorado State University, the diversity we are talking about is a diversity of gender and skin color. It is not, under any circumstances, a diversity of ideas. Try going to a philosophy class on Colorado State University campus and talk about the non-aggression principle and watch how fast you will be shut down by the person running that classroom. Then we have the College of Business. Mike Germello, director of undergraduate programs for the College of Business, said that some ways the school has worked to increase diversity include improving resources for diverse students, improving inclusivity, and educating faculty and staff on diversity issues. We have, quote, we have made it easier for us to retain diverse students, unquote, Germello said. Quote, the more diverse a class is, the more perspectives, the more ideas, and the more students learn, unquote. Again, first of all, this implies that those of you who are ticks, I mean tokens, I mean minorities, that you are motivated differently than white men, that you learn differently than white men. All of this implies that you are different in some important and substantial way than white men. This is racism. I submit that people are people, and there are not substantial, measurable, important differences in people that are based on skin color. Then he says, the more diverse a class is, the more perspectives, the more ideas, the more students learn. No. This diversity, again, I repeat myself, has nothing to do with a diversity of ideas and perspectives. I'm telling you, walk into a business class and talk about free market. Talk about an anarchist capitalist society. talk about the idea that there should be no taxes, that the idea there should be no tariffs, that there should be no regulations by the government, that, you know, people who engage, you know, go in there and say you should be able to start a business without getting a license from the government. And if you do that, the government should not come and, you know, extort money from you and threaten you and eventually put you in prison. And if you resist going to prison, shoot you. Go into a business class on CSU campus and present that idea and watch how fast the fuckhead in charge of that classroom will put an end to that discussion. There is no fucking diversity of ideas on Colorado State University campus. Next, we have the College of Engineering. According to Kathleen Baumgarten, direct, and I'm making like no attempt to pronounce these people's names right because I don't know where these things come from. Kathleen Baumgarten, director of the College of Engineering, the college has made a has run a student ambassador program in the last 6 years. The plan of action pairs current students with prospective students to determine if their programs fit their needs. Quote, it is our belief that this program is particularly helpful not only for women but also ethnically diverse groups, unquote. So, I mean, it. Again, it's like, okay, do you think white men come to college knowing what the fuck they want to do? I mean, the idea that there should be some way of helping people going into college figure out if the program is going to work for them and if it's what they want to do, I think is great. But I find this whole idea that, you know, women and tick marks, I mean, minorities, you don't need this more than white men. Again, because 18-year-old minorities are less confused than 18-year-old white men. I mean, have you ever met an 18-year-old white boy? If there's anything on the planet dumber than the average 18-year-old white boy, I don't know what it is. Quote continues, living and learning among students. Living and learning among students from various ethnic, cultural, geographic, socioeconomic, linguistic, and religious backgrounds benefits every student and the college as a whole, unquote, Baumgarten said. That was a mouthful of bullshit. Notice how the thing not in there is ideological differences, political differences. No, no, no. Ideologically and politically, we all need to believe in the state. We all need to believe that Obama is the Messiah. We all need to believe that the government can murder people for any reason as long as there's a law. We all need to believe that Obama can murder people in foreign countries with flying robots. We all need to believe in voting. We all need to believe in the redistribution of wealth. We all need to believe the government should provide health care and the government should give women birth control and all this other shit. Next is the intra-university, which is the undeclared student advising. Oh, there's actually nothing in there even remotely interesting. Next, College of Liberal Arts. Need I say more? College of Liberal Arts. Need I say more? Here we go. The number of diverse students in the College of Liberal Arts is increasing because of changes in administrations, according to Associate Dean Irene Vernon. The facility diversity, however, is, quote, dreadful, unquote, she said. In 2003, 10% of the college's teaching staff were minorities. What? Wait, hold it. What it says here is, in 2003, 10% of the college's teaching staff were minorities. So somebody did not proofread that sentence very well. In 2012, that number climbed to 14%. When looking at the numbers, again, when looking at the number, again, those of you who are ticks, those of you who are tokens, those of you who are minorities, Why do you not understand that the rich white people, elitist fuckwads who run CSU, they look at you only as numbers? I mean, all of this thing, for all of these colleges, there's these numbers, like College of Liberal Arts in here. 2003, 13.1% were minorities. In 2012, 18.1% were minorities. 9-year change, 5% increase. These fucking white elitists who runs Colorado State University look at you as a fucking number. You are just a statistic. You're something they track so that they can compete with other colleges and compete with the other colleges within the university and say, oh, look, we have more darkies than you do. I mean, you are being used by these people in order to make themselves feel good and look good. They don't give a shit about you as a person. You are a fucking tick to them. That's all you are. Why do you allow yourself to be treated this way? Why do you participate in this? When looking at the numbers, it appears that CSU is doing well with underrepresented faculty members with a very high percentage of Asians, according to Vernon. Oh my God. Out of the 146 minority teachers on campus, 75 are Asian. There are 10 Asian faculty members in the College of Liberal Arts, which has 30 minority members in total. Vernon said she believes that diversity cannot be looked at as a compartmentalized situation, but a topic that needs to be at the root and core of the university. Quote, all we have to do is think about what the future is going to look like in America and how the demographics are changing, unquote, she said. Quote, it's not looking into the future anymore, it's now, unquote. I mean, this is just all just psychobabble. Diversity cannot be looked at as a compartmentalized situation. Okay, but diversity is compartmentalizing. As I just finished saying, diversity is racism. It's breaking people into categories based on gender and skin color. It's compartmentalizing people based on what they look like. Then there's College of Natural Science, nothing interesting there. College of Veterinary Medicine. The college has attempted to focus its publicity efforts on attracting minority students through university initiatives. What that means is giving financial rewards to minorities. Students who enroll in the CVMBS learn to explain Okay, this is brilliant. Now, the CVMBS is College of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences. That's what this means. For those of you who think that a college education is crucial and important, this is an important paragraph for you to listen to. Listen to this. Students who enroll in CVMBS learn to explain complex topics, solve problems, learn actively, and communicate clearly. Relative to these attributes, there is no difference between minority and non-minority students, Blim said. So if you're in the CVMBS, God, I hate acronyms, you will learn to do things like explain complex topics, solve problems, learn actively, and communicate clearly. So are you saying that in the other colleges at CSU, people don't learn those things? Furthermore, the people going into CSU and other colleges all around the United States have just spent 12 years in public school. 12 years of their life in public school. The wonderful public school controlled by the federal government, controlled by his Lord and his Savior, Hussein Obama, the Messiah. And you're telling me that after 12 years of public school, these people do you not know how to explain complex topics, solve problems, learn actively, and communicate clearly? Really? Then what the fuck did they do for 12 years? Now, I think in reality, what happened here was the spokesperson for CVMBS was simply trying to use this as an opportunity to try to pimp how great they are, because having in the past dated a veterinarian student, I've probably ranted on here about how fucked up the vet students are, because they are the most arrogant and intellectually inbred group of people I have ever interacted with in my life. I mean, like, you think like religious fanatics or like Scientologists or hardcore liberals, you know, any of those people are very obnoxious and intellectually inbred, okay? But I'm telling you, there's not a group of people I've ever run into that is more intellectually inbred and more condescending and more arrogant to anybody who is not a member of their group than the veterinary students here at Colorado State University. And finally, last on the list, because they have the least amount of ticks, I mean tokens, I mean minorities, is the Warner College of Natural Resources. Quote, I think it's pretty easy to go from when your numbers are pretty low to increase those numbers, said Ethan Billingsley, Assistant Director of Undergraduate Programs at WCNR. Quote, historically, we haven't been extremely diverse, unquote. Quote, when the U.S. Forest Service wants to talk about how we manage the land here in Larimer County, we need to understand how the entire population wants to use the land. It's everybody's land, Billings said, quote, not just the 75%, unquote. Oh, it's everybody's land. Is it? Is it really? And remember, if it's everybody's land, it's nobody's land. And when everybody is responsible, nobody is responsible. It's everybody's land, but I guarantee there, you, if you go out to everybody's land and, I don't know, maybe try to like some smoke some marijuana, you know, with your body that you have supposedly that you own, you know, with some marijuana that you grew yourself, and you're out there on everybody's land and you're doing it, I guarantee Obama's little, DEA will show up and take you down. Oh no, not anymore, great one, because in Colorado, marijuana is legal now. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in the future. If you think marijuana is legal, you got another guest coming. As one of my former high school teachers would always say, if you think you're going to get away with it, you got another guest coming. All right. That was a little diversity and racism and tick marking at CSU. Sadly, speaking of CSU, the Ramskeller, apparently, which is the bar in the Laurie Student Center on campus, is going to be shut down because they're doing renovations down there. That's sad. That's very, very sad. Because Ramskeller is really the only reason to go to campus. Also over here in the brief yays and nays section, it says, yay to the inauguration. For the second time in a row, we've seen history in the making. I don't know why it's history in the making that we inaugurated a president. Oh, wait, that's right, because Obama's black. He's just a tick. He's just a token. He's different from all the white presidents that have come before him. Why? Because of his skin color. But of course, why we believe all people are equal. Well, except for Obama, because he's different, because he's black. See, does anybody out there understand how this whole diversity thing doesn't fucking work without racism? Am I talking to myself here? Is this really so fucking complex that I'm the only person who can understand that you can't have diversity without first having racism? And that if we simply regarded all people as people, and recognize that all people are the same in certain ways, we all have characteristics we all share with each other, and at the same time, every single person is also different in unique ways. All of us are completely fucking 100% unique in our own way, and that neither those differences nor those uniquenesses nor those similarities, I'm going to learn to use the English language any moment now. I've been saying that for years, of course. I probably never will. None of the are. See, and here's the other thing, too. I don't want to say that in matters of human behavior and human psychology, you know, people's race and gender doesn't factor in somehow. I mean, for example, okay, I've used myself as an example here. I am attracted to women, sexually and romantically attracted to women, okay? So therefore, based on gender, I am going to treat women differently than I'm going to treat men, okay? So there are elements of who we are and what we do and what we think that, yes, most certainly, there are influenced by other people's skin color and by their gender. But the way we interact with other people is not influenced by those things exclusively. Okay, I'm from the South. Remember the South where everybody's a racist? I have known people, mostly white men, who are very, very racist people, who regularly refer to black people as niggers in casual conversation. Okay? And yet, even these most incredibly racist people that I've known, almost all of them had black people that they were good friends with. And you would say to them, well, you know, you say you hate black people, right? And they'll say, yeah, man, I hate them fucking niggers. We should shoot all the fucking niggers. I fucking hate niggers. And then you would say, well, what about Bob? He's black. And they'll say, well, Bob, hey, he's different. And what's different about Bob, of course, isn't that Bob is quote-unquote different. It's that we'll call our racist guy Bubba for conversation. Is that Bubba knows Bob personally, and because Bubba knows Bob personally, Bubba is able to go past Bob's skin color and see the real person that he is. And that's why Bubba's saying, well, Bob's different. No, Bob's not different. Your knowledge of Bob is specific and particular, as opposed to your knowledge of all those other, you know, damn niggers out there, which are just this vaporous cloud that you create these illusions in your mind about. You know, just like the gun grabbers create these illusions of people that own guns, right? Everybody that owns a gun is just sitting around waiting for their opportunity to run into a public school and shoot children. And they believe this because they don't know anybody who owns a gun. And so they create these fictions in their head. Right? And racism and diversity is based on the exact same thing. You don't know. I mean, I've said this 1,000 times before. Fort Collins is the most fucking white bread place I've ever lived in my life. There's like 17 black people in this entire town. People in this town who are white, upper middle class, college educated fuckheads don't know anybody. The only interaction they have with black people is when the black people are in their classroom and this fucking white middle class elitist piece of shit is standing at the front of the classroom lecturing everybody in the class about diversity and tolerance and how global warming is going to kill everybody and how Republicans hate people and how everybody who owns a gun wants to go into school and shoot people. None of these people actually know any minorities on an individual level. They're just living in their head and they're making up these weird fantasies about how people that don't have white skin and penises are different than everybody else. And so we have to treat them different and we have to track them with numbers because they're statistics. And we have to sit around and scratch our heads and try to figure out how to appeal to them because they're so different than the rest of the human race that the things that motivate us don't motivate them. And I still don't fucking understand why those of you who are treated like this by the university, who are told by the university that you're tick marks, that you're tokens, that you are minorities, that you are statistics, I don't understand. Why do you put up with this shit? Why? 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 I don't get it. I mean, I think a lot of it is the indoctrination because especially now, 18-year-olds right now have grown up just hearing, you know, diversity and the indoctrination just coming at them for 12 years of public school. You know, they've been fed this shit that, you know, all white people are racist and all white people hate you and you're different than white people and God knows what else they've been told. Well, God doesn't know. God doesn't exist. But it's an expression. It's an expression. All right, as I flip through the newspaper here, let me see. Randy, how are we on time? Yes? Okay, I gotta see if I can get this in. Obama, your Lord and Savior, Hussein, uses inauguration to spotlight policy pledges. Barack Obama publicly took the oath of office for a second term Monday, strongly defending the ideology of his party as he urged Americans to accept compromise as a path towards solving the nation's problem. So on one hand, he's strongly defending the ideology of his party, but at the same time, he wants compromise. Well, compromise with who? The Republicans? Okay, wait. If the ideology of the Democrats is actually the opposite of the ideology of the Republicans, it's not, because Obama is basically Bush the second. I mean, you know, it's the war is still going on, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But if the Democrat ideology is the opposite of the Republican ideology, and if the Democrat ideology is something that he is strongly defending, why would he then say, I want to compromise? This is like me saying, I believe in the non-aggression principle. However, I want to compromise with rapists and murderers and child molesters and work with them. It's like, well, no. If you believe in non-aggression, you can't compromise with somebody who rapes a woman. You can't compromise with somebody who molests a child. You can't compromise with somebody who kills another human being, unless it's in self-defense. And most of the time, it's not. So if you're going to say, well, our Democrat ideology is great and worth defending, then how can you turn around and say you're going to fucking compromise it? If your ideology is so wonderful, why would you compromise it? For the first time, an inaugural address mentioned the rights of the gay Americans as Obama. There's another tick mark for you. Homosexuals, how does it feel to be a fucking tick mark? How does it feel to be a fucking statistic? How does it feel to be a talking point in a presidential inauguration? Obama declared that America's journey is not complete until our gay brothers and sisters are treated like anyone else under the law. For if we are truly created equal, then surely the love we commit to one another must be equal as well. Well, gee, Messiah, I don't know. You're in charge of the government. Why don't you do something about it? Furthermore, why does the government have anything to do with marriage anyway, as I've said over and over and over for years and years and years? The president also insisted on the need to respond to the threat of climate change. Oh, climate change. Some may still deny the overwhelming judgment of science, but none can avoid the devastating impact of blah, 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 and sustainable energy, which is all bullshit. There's some great books on that. I need to remember to recommend those. Oh, this is how we will, this quote, this is how we will preserve our planet commanded to our care by God, unquote. Your Messiah, Hussein Obama, your Lord and Savior, believes that the planet Earth was commanded to our care by God. An invisible man in the sky has commanded the planet's care to us. Oh, oh my God, I have never heard such bullshit. God, and Randy, we're going long. There's one more sentence. Just one more sentence, and then we'll take a break. I have to talk about this. By the way, the theme song for Stating the Obvious is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour. It's off his 1984 album About Face. I love when atheists are all like, well, those Republicans, they're all religious, you know, and atheists are all liberal Democrats because they think that liberal Democrats and atheism somehow go together. You know, and here's the Messiah saying, this is how we will protect our planet, commanded to our care by God. Yeah, that's very atheistic. No religious overtones here. Okay. Then he said, quote, He being capital H, Messiah, Lord and Savior, Hussein Obama, first affirmative action president, second coming of Jesus Christ, said, quote, "Preserving our individual freedom ultimately requires collective action," unquote. I mean, there it is. There is the statist psychobabble for you. The only way we can have individual freedom is through collective action. And of course, what does collective action mean in the way the Messiah is using it? God, I feel like I'm doing my William Shatner interpretation. Spock, where's my ship? Spock, Scotty, we must have collective action. Collective, we must tax. We must spend. We must regulate. Because without the state, who's going to build the roads? Roads! Roads, Spock, roads! We need roads. Preserving our individual freedoms ultimately requires collective actions. Action. Collective action, just one action. I mean, what the fuck can that possibly mean? Other than, I must kill more people in foreign countries with flying robots. I must raise taxes. I must create more regulations. I must put more people in Gitmo. I must have the TSA touch more 8-year-old boys in airports. I mean, I must, you know, treat minorities like ticks and tokens. I mean, what the fuck does that mean? If you live by and apply the non-aggression principle, there is no collective action necessary to preserve people's individual freedom. If everybody abides by the non-aggression principle, and if everybody respects property rights, then you don't need any collective action whatsoever. It's an individual thing. If each individual thinks about it, engages with themselves, does a little self-discovery and thinking, and comes to the conclusion that non-aggression and property rights is the correct way to behave in relationship to the other people around you, regardless of what color their skin is, regardless of what gender they are, then there's no collective action necessary. None. Why is this so fucking hard?